and amazing things in our lives. And Father, we know that it's hard for us not to become a little anxious or maybe a little worried about some of the events in our life. But yet, God, we know that because you are a great God, we can rest in your care and take your yoke upon us, because it is restful, it is light. And God, I just pray as we sing that song that it just really encourages us as we just live our journey and live our life. And God, we thank you for the truth of that song. And Father, as it's we sing it, I pray it's more than just words. We thank you and we praise you in your Son's name. Amen. All righty, turn your Bibles, if you would, to Revelation chapter 17. We're not going to camp in this text very long tonight, because we're going to do a little bit of a Bible study, preparing for this study. Because if you look at this study, and again, if you've ever got into this area and you ever got into this text, you can see that when you begin, if you want to read the first six verses of chapter 17, you would simply say, yeah, I think I'll pass. I have no clue what they're talking about. Well, that's very, I guess you say that's normal, because chapter 17 begins to show a great mystery. And it talks about this Babylon. And as you read this and understand it, it's very difficult to really put it into perspective. But we want to do a little bit of a background. Let's make a foundation for what we're about to see and what we're about to read. Because the Lord knew exactly what John saw. And basically, as he transported this vision to him, and he knew it would be very difficult to understand. So what God did is he gave us a little bit of a literary key. Now, when I was in college just a few years ago, we had what, you know, if you wanted to read this book, and it was like a big book, where you could find what we would call the Reader Digest version of the book. You know, the clip notes, you know, the easy read, if you want to get the whole thing. Well, we were never allowed to use clip notes. So what we learned, and I say we, because it wasn't just my idea. I just happened to go along. What we used to do is we would just speed read, and we would read the first sentence of every paragraph. And you would be amazed at the knowledge you gain about the whole book just reading the first sentence of every paragraph. Because if it was written right, every paragraph begins another thought, another, and instead of listening to all the what about it. So it was our homemade clef notes. And it really helped. I mean, I graduated, so we're good, right? Anyway, we'll just leave it go right there. But that's what this angel, and we see in verse 1, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and he talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee a judgment of the great whore or harlot that sitteth upon many waters. So this angel was coming down, and God, knowing that John was going to write this vision down, very difficult to understand, even today very difficult to understand, it was almost like he sent a clef note down. He sent an angel down that was going to help explain what was going on. So that all understood. We're gonna jump from there, because as we see the importance of this, it's talking about a place, or it's talking about the angel stated to him, I will show thee unto the judgment of a great harlot. Now that's the only time that you're going to see this Babylon called a harlot, because it goes down and it's basically two entities called Babylon. One is the harlot and one is the great city. So when we study through this, we need to understand that, first of all, we need to understand the great city. Before we get to the text and read down through here and have any kind of understanding, we really need to go and realize how important it is, because when we get to chapter 17 and 18, it's going to talk about this city of Babylon, first describing it as a harlot or whore, and then it's describing it as a great city. So according to what the angel said in verse 1, it's the judgment of this great city that sitteth upon many waters. Basically, at this point in time, we need to realize that Babylon, or the city called Babylon, is going to be the city of evil. It's going to be the city of Satan. That's where Satan is going to rule, because we understand now at this point, time of the tribulation, Satan has definitely come out on the scene. The Antichrist has come on scene. They seem to be winning and reigning, and still the judgments are coming down. So now he's going to describe this for us. And as we understand this in these chapters, we need to understand what makes this city so great. Because Babylon has been mentioned many times in the Old Testament, many times as the great city. So I want to do a little bit of study on this city through the scriptures to give us an idea about this city a little bit more so we can understand it maybe a little bit more. But this is where, again, Satan will establish the headquarters in this city, this area of Babylon. So before we get into the two chapters, let's look at this a little bit. Because there was a time in humanity where there was only one language spoken in the whole world. And it was just after the flood when Noah and his family were on earth. And that time frame, they multiplied. But let's go to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11 talks about this time after the flood and after the Noah's sons and Noah's family was recorded in chapter 10. Begin to list all the people and all the children and all those that came from there. And then in chapter 11, a very familiar story of the Tower of Babel. So what we need to understand as we read through this, let's look at the first, or verses 3 and 4 of chapter 11 of the book of Genesis. And they said one to another, Go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and the slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into the heavens, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. This is the city called Babel. Because at this point, and again, we understand the word Babel, but after Noah was there, and again, they developed this city, there was a large segment of people who landed in the plain of Shinar. Now, in the plain of Shinar is basically what is known today as the southern part of the Mesopotamia. So that's the region, and that's the area that they're landed in. And after the Noah's Ark, and you can look that up. In fact, we were just watching something the other night on TV, and they're digging in. I want to say Italy, it's Turkey. In Turkey, for the Ark, they think they found it. They're digging more, and they're going to be seeing if they can replicate it. And it was kind of interesting because in this documentary, they mentioned of some guy down in the tip of Kentucky, Ken Ham, who made his Ark and truly believes. And if you've never been to the Ark, have you been to the Ark? Anybody been to the Ark? You have got to go to the Ark. Make a trip. You cannot see the Ark and also the Creation Museum at the same time. Way too much stuff. But if you go down to the Ark, it is a replica of the exact size, best they could put it together. And it is unbelievably massive. When you stand down there and look up into the decks, it's just unbelievable what you see. So it gives you a good idea why it took 100 years to build it. When you look at, see the size of this thing. But if you've never been there, you need to go down there. What a phenomenal place, phenomenal trip to take. Kids love it. They have all kind of a walkway, and they have a description of each story, what that meant, where they stayed, how they fed the animals, and it's really, really good. But enough of the billboard for Ken Ham. So as they understand, again, coming out of Noah's time and Noah's day, they had the one language, landed in this area. But the problem is, and here's one word that ought to, let it ring. They were content to live there. Contentment is one of the greatest dangers in our life. Because God told them to do what? And if you read down through, we're not going to take time to read all Genesis 11. But God told them to scatter. God told them to go scatter and multiply and the earth. God wanted to control, and I say that carefully, God wanted to use us to influence the whole world, okay? But their thought process was, interesting enough, when they became content with the location, the people decided to do two things. build a city that would be a name for them and go into heaven man's way. Two things that they decided to do when they disobeyed God. So in this Tower of Babel, it's interesting, and again, without many of you know the whole story, but read, study through that chapter when you go home tonight or tomorrow. And it's a story that God said different. Basically, and as God said different, it was quite interesting. But what's wrong with wanting to build a great city? What's wrong with wanting to do those things? Well, there's three things I want to point out that are very wrong in what they did. The first thing we find is that they decided to reach for heaven, not God's way, but man's way. When that happens, in fact, it's quite interesting because it is in our nature to do the same thing. It has been our nature since Cain and Abel. When Cain brought the vegetation, and you know, I imagine he did had a really good garden. I mean, look at the fertile soil he had. It wasn't messed up by man's pesticides. It was a good full, it's good soil. It was good stuff. He had a great garden, but from what he did, from his toil, from his garden, from his, he brought it to God as a sacrifice to God. And obviously we know the story. Cain's sacrifice was not accepted. Abel, who had the sacrifice of the lamb and the blood, that's what God wanted. So from Cain and Abel, we find man has been trying to do or trying to reach God on his own. In fact, you do a study on the religions of the day. Christianity, what we believe, is the only religion that does not have a man's works to get to heaven. It's the only one. There is no other one. Every religion has some man power getting his way into heaven. So this isn't new. I mean, we're going all the way back into the flood. We're going all the way back into Genesis beginning, all the way back to Cain and Abel. And we realize that it is intrigued in man. It's integrated in our DNA to try to work our way to heaven because of the fall. Because of the fall, we think we can do things that only God can do. Now, we sort of look at that and say, nah, that's ridiculous. But yet, how many things do we try to fix in our lives that belong to God's battle? How many battles do we try to win in our kids or our people around us or other things that don't belong? It's the battle belongs to the Lord. And yet we still try. That's signal number one. Another red flag is when we pray to God for help after everything we've done hasn't worked. It's the same thing. So we would never, I would never, you would never come right out and say, like, you know, I really believe I can do this. I really believe I can work my journey of life better than God. We would never say that. But yet be careful, because some of the times, not all the times, some of the times our actions say differently. Some of the times our actions say that because of our prayer life or because of how much we're trusting God. Listen, I tell everybody, I have no problem laying things down at God's feet. I lay everything possible at God's feet. My problem is picking it up 10 minutes later. It's easy to get it there. It's tough to leave it there because you got to really have a lot of faith. You got to have a lot of trust. And that's the hard part because, one, we live in a microwavable society, and if God doesn't answer my prayer now, then I'm going to take care of it. And it's amazing. When you think through openly and honestly in your heart before God, I believe you'll find many times that we've done that to God. So we can't look at these people and say, boy, they're messed up. Well, you know, we need to be careful because our actions sometimes will say the same things. So first thing they did is they tried to, again, go into meet God or go into God man's way. The second issue we find is that the people in Shinar had what was rather doing something for the glory of themselves instead of for the glory of God. Because in Genesis 11 it says, let us build a city for what reason? Build a city of ourselves and a tower also that we can make a name for ourselves. nothing to do with God, nothing at all to do with God. We're going to build this city. We're going to make sure it is the greatest city, and we're going to make sure that it's because we did it. Nothing to do with God. So their intent, again, we don't know the size of this settlement. We don't know the size, how many people were there. We know, we read chapters 10 and again, the genealogy of Noah's family, and yet, but there's a lot of years in between there, okay? It wasn't just like 5 years down the road. So there was a mass people. There's a large group of people. So they were there. They were doing this, but they wanted to make a name for themselves. They didn't want to make a name for God or glorify God in any way. Does that sound familiar today? TikTok, Facebook. And I'm going to tell you what. Everybody looks great. And I love the commercials. I love it when this mom is sitting in the kitchen and her daughter's sitting there all primped up and pretty and they're making cookies and it is the best thing in the world. And then the camera backs out and the kitchen's a total wreck. I mean, that's the reality of life, not the little picture that they're showing you on the screen. We do the same thing today. We try to do what we do for glory of our own. Look the pictures. Look at me. Look at my garden. Look at my homestead. Look. And very little of it's glorifying God. Well, it came from the heart of the evil man, sinful man. But Hollywood, yeah. The screens and the pictures, yeah, everything. So, I mean, it's what we see, it's what we do. And listen, I'm not bashing everything. I am not on social media. It's too much drama for me. I got enough issues of my own in life. I don't need to listen to everybody else's. Unless one of you come to me, I'll listen to you. But I could care less about somebody who lives in another state talking about something and I'll never affect, you know, sorry. Go find your pastor. I don't need to listen to it. I don't care what you had for supper. I really don't care that your child just colored you a picture. I'll quit. But anyway, if you spend enough time on those social media websites, on those sites, and you have an objective eye, you will see that it's all, most of them, and I won't put everybody into the category, most of them will be glorifying me, not God. Not, again, not all of them. Some people use it the way it's supposed to be used, and it's a great tool when it's used correctly. But be careful, because when they did the same thing, they wanted to say, we're going to make a city for us, to glorify us. So, again, understanding the second thing, the third thing, the final thing, is the people of Shinar did not want to follow God's direction to multiply and spread across the earth. They became content where they were. They didn't want to move. They were tired of traveling like nomads. They were tired of living in tents. They were they just wanted to stay local. And that's not what God said. So, we know that in the Tower of Babel, all of a sudden, Sam above Joe needed a brick, and he's spoken in a language that Joe didn't understand. So everybody at that point then who understood each other gathered around in their little circle, and they all scattered and went anywhere and everywhere, like God told them to do in the first place. And I truly believe that's where all your nationalities come from, that's where all your races come from, that's where all your different languages come from. Until that point, there was only one language in the world. Until God says, you're not listening to me. And the only way that he could get to the heart of the people to scatter them how he wanted them was to change the languages, the races, everything came out of that. Everything, it's interesting, and I'm not going to carry this too far because I don't believe race issue is, to me, totally ludicrous. We're all men, we're all women, we all bleed red, we're all from God. There is nothing else. But evil is what created, or the reason for, the creation of race, different races. There's a lot to be said for that. Because I think a lot of times that today And so, you know, as a Christian, as a child of God, there is no race thing. It's ridiculous to have a race concept, race idea. We're all from God, and we all spoke the same language until this point, until there in Genesis 11. So, that all being said, what we need to realize is that God intervened, we know that, and they began speaking the different languages. But through their example, what we see is that when you rebel against God, he still wins. God still wins. God told them back in the beginning, I want you to scatter around the world. No, we're not going anywhere. How's that working for you? As you walk away and leave because you can't understand the other people around you. What a valuable lesson for us tonight. You know, God is asking of us to do a lot of things. God continues to ask us to do a lot of things. And if we say, God, I don't have time. God, I'm too busy. God, I can't. He's going to say, okay, but it's still going to get done. You just may not be the one he uses. You may not be the one to get the blessing from it. God's plan is not going to change, no matter what man does. So in all three of these reasons, it's all about them. It's all about man. But the interesting thing is, when we go down through this a little bit further, all of this took place in the city of Babel. Interesting enough, Babel eventually morphed into the great city of Babylon. That's how Babylon started. Babylon started with the rejection of God. Is it any wonder that in the tribulation time, Satan is going to rule and reign from the city of Babylon? It has been evil since its conception. It has gone against God since its beginning of even the people coming to that area and staying there. So that's important. But as we see that, to understand even a little bit more about this city and the original founder, I guess we can say the ringleader or the one that really caused a lot of the problems is simply, we're going to do it our way group. The leader of the we're going to do it our way group. Do you think we have a few leaders out there today about the same mindset? We're going to do it our way group. Doesn't matter what the rules are. Doesn't matter what the laws are. Don't matter who we step on and get over what we do. We're going to do it our way. And we are living in a society. And listen, this is nothing. We had fun with it. There was two kids playing around, riding their bikes around here today, and they were eyeing up the driveway. I mean, you know, young kids need of speed. They were eyeing up the driveway. So they started coming up the driveway, and I told God, Kim, you think I ought to go out there? She said, yeah. So I went out there, and I started talking to them, and they were just two young kids, two neighborhood young kids, and they just could not wait to go down that driveway. And I said, well, listen, when you go down the driveway, you better use your brakes. Don't wait till the very end to use your brakes because it's steeper than you think. You're going to go faster than you think. And if you go out on the road and get hit by a car, don't say I didn't tell you so. And they're like, they're just looking at me. I said, now, I raised kids on this hill, and they've had broken arms and broken shoulders and broken legs because of this hill. So you need, and I kept going and going, that one kid, poor kid, he put his feet down, and he went about 2 miles an hour down that whole hill, scared him to death. It's kind of fun. But anyway, but when you look at this, you know, we're going to do it our way. Would you have ever thought at a 10 and 12-year-old yourself just to grab your bike and go on anybody's property you want and do whatever you want to do? Listen, that's the world we're in. And there was fun. I mean, there was nothing again. I cared that they fell, but I didn't care that they were riding bikes. But the world we live in is, I'm going to do it my way. It doesn't matter what the rules are. It doesn't matter. I'm going to do it my way. So we're living in that world, and it's very easy from leadership clean down into the elementary. Everybody's doing it their own way. That being said, Nimrod, and I'm going to read this little quote through my studies, was the architect of this mysterious religion. Because what this religion was, Nimrod had a wife named Semiramis, who had a high priestly of an idol worship. Her followers believed that she had miraculously conceived a son. His name was Tammuz. He was born to be the savior of the people. Soon a religion developed around those two, with people worshiping both mother and child. Tammuz worshiped continued in various forms over the centuries, eventually reaching even unto the city of Jerusalem. That's how Babylon started. Nimrod and his wife was the ones who started the false religion. And did it sound familiar? His wife miraculously had a son. The son was born to be the savior of the people. Does it sound familiar? Do you know that everything Satan does, he does it to copy and mock God? Just all through the scriptures. It doesn't change. Nothing changes in that. It all is a mockery. 1 Corinthians 4 says he appears as an angel of light. Well, God said, I am the light of the world. And he is very deceptive because as he appears as an angel of light, some people believe, well, man, God is telling me to do this, or God is giving me this. God is allowing me to do this. We need to be very careful what God we're listening to, because there's a small g God that really likes to get in your head and act like the big G. And it's very hard for you and I to determine the difference between us. Oh, absolutely. That's what got him out of heaven. That's what kicked him out of, Lucifer kicked him out of heaven. His pride. He was going to be just like God and better. All of life. Everything. That's why you need to know the genuine. Because the counterfeit really is good. That's why he roams the earth in 1 Peter. Seeking whom he may devour. Because he knows he can get him. And again, it's so important to stay caught up in the Bible, stay caught up in the Word of God, know the genuine, know who God is, so that you don't get caught up in any other way. But as he goes into the temple and in the vision, okay, now in this vision, we're going to get back into chapter 17, 18, but I want you to have a good understanding of this Babel, who turned into Babylon, how they started, and it's no wonder that the judgment is going to come on them. But in a vision, when you see what was going on, Ezekiel saw a woman sitting there weeping for Tammuz. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 14. So turn there quickly. We're going to turn there and read that very quickly. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 14. Because I want you to be able to take these and understand these and not just take my word for it. But in Ezekiel 8, 14. I'll get the right text yet. Ezekiel 8, 14. And again, the whole text of what we're seeing is the second vision that Ezekiel was given about the chapter 7 starts with the prophecy of the pending judgment. So it's talking about the same judgment that we're about to study in Revelations is now being prophesied by Ezekiel in chapter 7 and 8. So in chapter 8, verse 14, it states, then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, sat there a woman weeping for Tammuz. That's the religion of the day. That was the son of Nimrod that the whole false doctrine religion was about. And so it's interesting. You got to put scriptures together, because scriptures is not going to lie. If it says something in the Old Testament, it's only going to back it up in the New. It's all important. It's all there in understanding this whole concept. Even Isaiah 47, verses 11 through 13, talk about the focus on the cult when he pronounced God's judgment upon the city. It was all about their cult. It was all about their beginnings, rejecting God's plan. It was about the religions they set up. And now do the study all through. God used Babylon to punish Israel. They were in captivity to Babylon. And so all these things that we see orchestrated by God, working his plan through all the Old Testament. And so now when you go into Revelations chapter 17, it says in verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her for fornication. Talking again about the false. Verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blaspheme, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of admonitions and filthiness for her fornication. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of the harlots and an abomination of the earth. So now we know why. We know why that statement was told about her. And again, when we look back in the Old Testament, when we see the way Israel went to the other gods, what did God call that? Look at the life of Hosea. What about the life of Hosea? Hosea married who? The harlot. Why? Because God wanted to show the nation of Israel, this is what you're doing to me. And then she went out and did her practice again, and he had to buy her back again. A foreshadowing of God having to buy us back through the blood of his son. So all of the scriptures fit together. It's really interesting in this. But we're going to look a little bit more into this. We can't go any further in this tonight. We need to bring it down. But we're going to meet this harlot next week. We're going to study a little bit more about her and try to understand her as much as we can when we study through those verses again. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the study tonight. And God, as we continue to just try to broaden our understanding and broaden our knowledge about the things that we're studying. Lord, I just thank you for the openness of mind that you give us. We would never understand this without the Spirit of God opening that truth to us. And Father, I pray that as we do study and as we do understand this, that it brings clarity enough that we can understand the need to be able to just not study it, but Father, to just allow it to apply our life and allow it to change how we look at people and how we live our journey of life while we have it here on earth. And God, I just thank you for all that you do, all that you bless us every day. And Father, for the wisdom and strength that you give us to walk that journey. And God, we give you the glory and the praise for that. Pray this in your son's name. Amen.